מסכת בבא מסיעה דף פה, הסוחר את הפרה לחרוש בהר וחרש בבקעה, אם נשבר הקנקן, פטור. בבקעה וחרש בהר, אם נשבר הקנקן, חייב. If somebody rented a cow to plow with it, and he rented not only the cow, but also the plow itself, the instrument that goes into the ground. Here's a picture of a plowshare that the metal part goes down into the ground, and there's a handle to steer it to make sure it's going in the right path. So the person rented the cow and the cow share, and they agreed that he would use it in the mountain where it's very rocky and it's tough dirt, and more likely for the plow to break. He instead used it in the valley, where it's easier to plow and less likely for the plow to break. If the bottom part here that goes into the ground, if that broke off, then he is not liable, because that he's doing a better, the renter is doing a favor. He's actually using it in a less strenuous way than they had agreed upon. But the other way around, if they agreed that he would use it in a valley and then he goes uses it on the mountain and it breaks, the renter is liable, because that goes against the agreement. He's using it in tougher terrain where it's more likely to break, and the owner did not agree to that. לדוש בקטנית ודש בתבואה פטור. לדוש בתבואה ודש בקטנית חייב מפני שהקטנית מחלקת. And similarly, he hired a cow to thresh on legumes, which are more slippery than grain. So the cow would walk on top of it, or walk on a board on top of it, so that by walking on that and it rolling around, the outside shell would come off of the grain inside. So if he told the owner, I'm gonna be threshing legumes, which are very slippery, and then he only used grains, and the cow slipped and was injured, he's not liable, because he was actually using it for something less slippery. However, if he agreed, listen, I'm going to use this to thresh grains, and then he used the cow to thresh legumes, which are more slippery, then he's liable, because he used it in a riskier way than they had agreed upon. Gemara, hecha de la shaneba man mishalem. Okay, now a question. You told me complicated cases where they agreed on one thing and then he did something else. But what if he's following exactly what they agreed upon? So then who would be responsible, assuming that the renter also hired workers to work with the animal? There are two workers that work with an animal typically. One would be holding this handle to lead the plow in the right way, and the other who would be pulling or pushing the animal, goading the animal here with a whip or with a stick, so that the animal would go the right way. This guy is particularly talented because he seems to be doing both, each with one hand. But Agamemnon is going to discuss where there's two people doing it and who is responsible for a breaking in a regular case. So it's not no longer with the renter and the owner, because the renter is following what the owner had stipulated. But now the renter himself, who hired these workers, who can he blame? Amar Papa, Dinakit Parasha Mishalem. So the Papa says, whoever is holding the goad pays, because the one holding the goad, who is directing the animal, obviously must have done a bad job, because he made the animal go to a bad spot where it was likely that the tool would break. Rav Shisha b'ret Rav Idia amar d'naket mana mishalem. Rav Shisha, the son of Idia, disagrees and says, no, whoever's holding the tool, the plowshare, is responsible, because that person has to know and make sure if you're coming upon a rock or an obstacle, then you have to lift up the plow so that it won't break on it. So that person is responsible. Filcheta d'naket mana mishalem. And halacha is like that second an opinion. But if it's a place where it's very rocky, then both of them have to pay. They share it equally, because it's probably both of their faults. You need two to tango. in that case. So it's not just a one-off. If it's a one-off rock, then the person who's holding the plow should have seen it and picked it up. But if it's very rocky, then the one goading the ox also is responsible to make sure the ox will go in a good direction. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amochir para lechaveru v'amar lo, para zo nagchaniti, nashchaniti, ba'ataniti, rabsaniti, v'ya ba'amu mechad us nafo ben hamumin, hare ze mikach ta'ut, mum ze mum acher, en baze mikach ta'ut. Now Rabbi Yochanan teaches that. This is citing a Tosefta. Somebody sells a cow to someone else and says, listen, I want you to know this cow is not perfect. It gores, it bites, it kicks, and it lies down and won't move. And so he's giving him all these, caveats. So you can buy it, but just know I'm warning you. Now, if in reality it had only one of those defects, right? Only that it kicks. That's it. But so why did he list all of them? He wanted to list them together with all the other ones so that the buyer would not pay attention particularly. The buyer would look at it and say, well, I don't see it biting. I don't see it lying down. I think the seller is just exaggerating. Maybe the seller just wants to cover all his bases. And so I'm not really worried about it. And it turns out that it in fact has that one defect. This is a false sale. It's a sale on false premises. Even though the seller actually did tell him, right, five things that are wrong with it, but in fact only one is true. So because only one of the five were true, the buyer, looking at it, assumed that none of them are true. And therefore, bought it, thinking that actually it's just fine and the seller is covering his bases. However, if the seller says, listen, it kicks and it has other defects, then the other defects, yes, covering his bases, but he did say explicitly that it kicks and he highlighted that more than the others. So then the buyer should have realized that, yes, in fact, it really kicks, and he's just adding the other as a catch-all. So if the buyer takes it anyway and he says, oh, yeah, it kicks, so I want to return it. The seller said, I told you it kicks. Yeah, but you told me it does other things too. I said, no, that was a general thing. So that's the difference. It's kind of like in medicine commercials. They'll tell you, you know, this medicine will heal everything, but then it gives a list of 100 diseases that and problems, including death and all that. So because they list so many, and you figure, well, you know, I took it once and I didn't get a headache, so you know, probably they're all just saying these to cover their bases. But you just kind of ignore it, and then if something happens, you go to the pharmacy company, and say, well, you didn't tell me that is going to cause this and that. It says, well, yeah, we did. It's on page 17 of 100 pages. So by listing all of the things, it actually does not give any information. It's actually too much information, the same as no information. That's the point. But if the pharmacy company would say, listen, this is likely to cause a stroke, among other things, so then you can't go complain, said, you didn't tell me about a stroke, because that one was singled out to be a high likelihood. All right, so this makes sense. Now, Tanya Namehachi, we have a beraita that supports what Rabbi Yochanan just said. Hamocher shivcha lechavero v'amar lo, shivcha zo shotahi, nichpeti, mesho'omemeti, v'ya ba mum echad usfano ben hamumin, hare ze mikach ta'ut, mum ze umum acher, en ze mikach ta'ut. Same thing before selling an animal here, if someone sells a maidservant, and he says, listen, this maidservant, far from perfect, she is mentally insane, epileptic, crazy, and so on. So if she in fact had only one of these diseases, and the seller just listed all of them to mix the real one into it, so it wouldn't be so noticeable, and then the buyer comes and says, she's epileptic. Yeah, why didn't you tell me? So I did tell you. I told you all those things. Yeah, but you told me too many things, and it really was, she didn't have all the other ones. But only this one. So you really didn't highlight it. You told me too many things and now I didn't realize. So he can return the maidservant. This is a false sale. But if he says she's epileptic and other things, then it turns out she is epileptic, then he cannot return it because the seller told him epileptic, even though he said other things as a general category. And he did highlight the real one that she actually had. So he should have known better. Amar le Rav Acha bere de Rava le Rav Ashe. Hayu ba kol hamin halalu mahu. So now, question of Rav Acha, son of Rava, to Rav Ashe. What if, in fact, she did have all of these diseases? Right? She had all three diseases, or the animal had all those problems. Then, what about that? Amar le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashe. Hachi amrinan mishme de Rava. Hayu ba kol min halalu en ze mikach ta'ut. So Rav Mordechai told Rav Ashe that he learned in the name of Rava, if in fact she has all of those diseases, then it's a valid transaction. The seller can't say, oh, I thought you were just listing, right, all these things because you wanted to cover your bases, so I wouldn't be able to go back. But I didn't take them seriously, and I didn't think that she had any of these diseases. So the buyer said that, right? The buyer said, I didn't think that she had any disease. I think you were just covering your bases. The seller said, listen, I knew she had all these diseases. I listed all of them. What else am I supposed to say? How can I be more convincing than telling you she has these three diseases? It's the buyer's fault for assuming that, well, since in other cases, the drug companies list 10 things, right? And you figure, just listing for the, 0.001 case. But now let's say it actually happens and all those 10 side effects happen. You can't go to the company and say, what? Why didn't you tell me? He says, we did. We listed, we told you exactly what's going to happen if you take this drug. So if they all are in fact true, then the sale is valid. Next Mishnah, hasocheret hachamor lavi aleha chitin veabi aleha seorin hayav. Tebua vehebi aleha teben hayav. Mipnei shehanefach kashe kemasoi. Someone rented a donkey with the stipulation that he's going to bring, is going to carry wheat. And instead he brings barley. Now barley is lighter than wheat, but he brings the same weight. So let's say he was going to bring 100 pounds of wheat. That's what he said. I'm going to use your donkey to carry this 100 pounds of wheat. Fine. The owner says, okay. In the end, he makes the donkey carry 100 pounds of barley. So it's still the same weight, but because barley is lighter, so there's a greater volume of barley that you need. And that makes it more difficult on the donkey. So if the donkey is injured because of that, it's more difficult to stabilize and carry it. So the renter is liable. And the same thing, if he agreed to take grain, which is heavy, and 100 pounds of it, and instead he brought 100 pounds of straw, which is going to be a much greater volume and harder to carry. So the renter is liable. He went against the agreement in a way that was more dangerous for the animal. Because here's the key words, that volume is as difficult as weight. Okay, we're going to analyze two interpretations of this word, kemasoi, in the Gemara. Levi letech chitin vebi letech seorin patur, vimosif al masao hayav. If they contracted to bring, a letech is a volume measure. He says, I'm going to bring this volume measure of wheat, and instead he brought the same volume measure of barley, that's okay because the barley is lighter and it's the same equal volume. So that's certainly okay. However, if he adds more to it, then he's going to be liable. Now, how much more would make him liable? How much more barley? Tzumchu somer mishum Rabbi Meir, se'a lagamal, shelosha kabin lahamor. Tzumchu says in the name of Rabbi Meir that the added amount is 1 se'a for a camel or 3 kav for a donkey. 3 kav is half of 1 se'a, since a camel is much bigger. So that much extra, up to that much extra, it could still handle, even though it's going to be more weight and more volume, but it could handle. More than that, it's not, that goes against the stipulations. And for a donkey, which is smaller, it can handle up to 3 kav more of barley beyond what was agreed upon, but more than that it won't be able to handle, and therefore the renter is liable. Now itmar Abaye amar kashe kemasoi tenan, Rava amar kashe lemasoi tenan. So these words where that says that volume is as difficult to carry as weight, should we read it like weight? That's what Abaye says. Rava says volume is difficult to carry, difficult as a load. Volume is difficult as a load or the same as weight. Now, seems similar. Let's explain the difference. Abaye amar, kashe kemasoi tenan, nifchat ki tikla, v'im mosif shelosha kabin, hayav. Abaye explains that added volume is the same problem as added weight, nifchat ki tikla, and therefore one will violate the terms of the agreement as long as one puts three kav more, and that would apply to weight or to volume. In other words, in the first case here, when he says, okay, you can bring one letech of wheat, and instead he puts, let's say, the same volume of barley. So that would be the same volume, so that's okay, and barley is lighter. But if he adds more to it, according to Abaye, that's already a problem, because volume is as problematic as weight. And just like adding more weight than what was agreed upon is going to be hardship for the donkey, so too adding more volume, even if it's actually lighter. And therefore, if one adds to the volume, it's no good. How much more? So he's going to use the same metric here that Rabbi Meir says, or three kav. We're going to go with a donkey. Three kav for a chamor. A kav is a volume measurement. If you add that much volume, so he puts one letech of barley, which is lighter than one letech of wheat. Okay, so that's the same. That's so far so good. But if he adds more than three kav to the volume, then he violates the agreement. So wiggle room. But that's significantly less than what Rava will say. So Rava amad, kashe le masoy tenan, tikla ki tikla v'nifcha have tosefet. Rava says that added volume is difficult to carry. It's not as difficult as added weight, but it does add a difficulty. And therefore, when will one violate if you put barley instead of wheat? If you have the same weight, whatever weight that you were allowed to put for wheat, let's say 100 pounds, then you put instead 100 pounds of barley. Well, then that's okay, but any more than that will be no good, because that's going to add any more volume. Now, how much is that? How much is the equal weight for volume? Well, that would be a letech plus a se'ah. So you see that Rava is more lenient, whereas according to Abaye, you can put a letech of barley, and then you could add up to three kav, because for weight also you're allowed the extra three kav. In other words, for weight, everybody is in agreement that, let's say that we say you can take a letech of wheat, and then he adds three more kav. Up to three more kav, it's still within the leeway, it's permitted. Okay, Rabbi and Rava would agree that added weight is a problem if it's three more kav. But how do you translate that into volume? So Abaye says, listen, this Abaye, volume is as difficult as more weight. And therefore, if you switch it with barley, okay, make the same letech of barley plus up to three kav and no more. Whereas according to Rava, you can make the weights the same. And a weight the same would mean that it will be a letech plus a se'ah of barley. A se'ah, so that's double, right? Se'ah is double three kav. So Rava says you can add twice as much barley as Abaye allows. And they both say a letech plus what? Plus three kav according to Abaye, plus a se'ah according to Rava. All right, that's the two ways of explaining this about this Mishnah. And now we're going to have a challenge against Rava from the wording of the Mishnah. Tenan, levi letech itin behevi letech se'orin patur, v'mosif al masa'o hayav, my lav shelosha kabin. So if they contracted to bring one letech of wheat, and then he brought instead a letech of barley, so that's okay, because that would be lighter, right? This is a challenge from the middle section of the Mishnah. However, if he added more, then he is liable. Now, how much more? Is it not three kabin more? So this is a proof for Abaye's reading, right? That three kav more than the same volume measurement is prohibited. Isn't that what it means? It says, no, lo, se'ah. What it means, if how much more? A se'ah more. V'ha'la katan, v'chama yosif al-maso v'he chayav, sumchus omer mishum ribi me'ir, se'ah l'gamal shosha kabin l'chamor. But how can you say it means a se'ah more, which was what Rava said? After all, the very next line in the Mishnah says, how much do you have to add in order to be liable? And sumchus omer ribi me'ir, Se'ah for a gamal, but three kav for a chamor. So it says right there, three kav, not a se'ah. Hachikama. So we have to read the Mishnah as follows in order to answer for Rava. Hecha de la shane, chitin, vehebi chitin, seorin, vehebi seorin, kama yosif amaso vehechayab, sumus omer, mishum ribi meir, sa'al gamal, shosha kabin lachamor. That last case is talking about a new case. It's not a continuation of the previous. They're at the middle of the Mishnah said, if you have the same volume, then patur, period. New case. Now, if you have the you're putting the same thing on the animal, you contracted for chitin and you're bringing chitin, or you contract for barley and you're bringing barley, but you add a little more. How much more? Right, just a tiny bit more. That's okay. How much more would you be liable? So here, that's where the B'meir says three kav. But how much more would you have to add to the volume measurement in order to be liable? According to Rava, it's a se'ah, because a se'ah will bring the weight of barley up to an equal weight of wheat. Tashema, lavi letechitin, vehebi, shesh asre seorim hayav, ha shaloshet kabin patur, tirgemah abaye bimhikata. We now challenge Abaye from a Baraita. The Baraita talks about a case where a renter contracts and rents a donkey to carry a letech of wheat. A letech is 15 se'ah. But the renter added one more se'ah and brought 16. Then he is liable. So we see here that he's not liable until he adds a whole se'ah. That's the opinion of Rava. But what if he added half of a se'ah, which is three kav? Then he would not be liable. But according to Abaye, as long as you add three kav or more, one is liable. So how will Rava explain? How will Abaye explain this braita? And so we say Abaye can explain it as a smoothed over volume measure. In other words, sometimes your recipes say either a teaspoon or a heaping teaspoon. So a level teaspoon is significantly less than a heaping teaspoon. Same thing with a letech. Usually we're talking about a heaping letech. So if it's a heaping letech, then you cannot add more than three kav over a heaping letech. So Abaye says this beraita is talking about a level letech. A level letech, if you add three more kav, that'll make a heaping letech. Three more over that, that will make the cutoff point. So it's the se'ah here is necessary to half the se'ah is going to make it a heaping letech, which it was usually talks about, and then the rest of it will be the three kav that Abaye talks about, and therefore this is reconcilable with Abaye as well. We now learn a baraita that tells us how much excess over the norm can a person or various types of boats handle before one becomes liable. Tenor banan kav la kataf adirib la reba kor la sifina shloshet korim leborne gedola. A kataf is a porter from the word katif, which means a shoulder. The kataf form with a dagesh in the middle is a professional who carries things on his shoulder. So he has a norm that most people can carry. If someone hires a porter and adds up to a kav more than the usual, that's okay. But a kav and above, now you added too much. And if the porter falls and gets injured, the person who hires him has to pay for that injury. Now, if you have a small boat, an areva, then an adiriv, half of a kor, if you add more than that over the normal amount, whatever a normal amount for an areva is, if you add an adiriv more than that and the boat sinks, you're liable. For a sifina, a regular sized boat, the added amount that's too much is a kor. And for a burni, a large ship, you can add up to three korim over the normal and still be okay. but three korim and more, then the renter would be liable for any damage. Let's analyze Amar Mor. Kabla katef im ita de la maseh be bar da'at hu leshadeh. Says, why should the person who hired the porter be liable? The porter is a person who has reason. So if he feels that this is too heavy, I'm going to get injured, I'm going to lose my balance, he should throw off the weight and save himself. So he should be liable himself, right? If you hire movers and tell them, okay, move this car, and then they try to pick up the car and they get injured, right? So I'm responsible. They should have said, no, this is too heavy. This is not part of our job. We're not doing it. So a person should be, the porter should be liable to take care of himself. Amar Abaye b'shachavato le'altar. Oh, so we have three answers. Abaye says it's when he was knocked down immediately. He didn't realize how heavy it was, and immediately, you know, someone puts it on his shoulder and he immediately falls. He didn't have time to save himself. Rava amar afilu tema b'shelochavato le'altar la'siricha ela la'gra yitera. Rava says it could be even if he was carrying it for a little bit and then he fell over. And we're not talking about paying damages, but rather we're talking about extra pay. When can he demand an extra pay? Let's say he didn't fall over at all. This is like baggage at the airport. If it weighs too much, so then they'll carry it, but you just have to pay $100 extra. I don't have to pay if the porter behind the counter gets injured. I'm not responsible. He's responsible for himself. If it's really too heavy, he just say, I'm not going to carry it. You carry it. Two people will carry it together, whatever. But the point is that because it's overweight, then I have to pay. How much is overweight? It's one kav more than the norm. Then you have to pay an added fee for his service. Rav Ashe amar hu savur chulsha hu denakit le. Rav Ashe says, no, it could be that a person thinks that, you know, I'm feeling weak. I don't know. He thinks that this is a normal weight and he's feeling weak. He says, okay, let me get my strength and I'll, you know, push myself to do it. And he may not realize that really it is too heavy. He thinks that he can do it. So even a reasonable person sometimes, you know, thinks that they can pick up something that's really heavier than they can. Kod la sefina שלושת קורין לבוני גדולה מרפפה שמאמינה סתם ספינות ברטלטין קורין למי נפקה מינה למיקח וממכר. The Braita taught that a kod is too much overweight for a sefina, and three korin are too much overweight for a big burni boat. So the Papa says we can learn from here that what the standard size capacity of a boat is 30 kod. In other words, we see from here that the ratio of the excess amount is 1/30th of the normal amount. So a normal boat, regular mid-sized boat, can carry 30, and if you want to add 31 up to 31, you still won't be liable. But 31 and above, then you overloaded the boat and you are liable. Okay, so why do we care? Why do we have to know what a standard size of a capacity of a boat is if you're buying and selling one? If I pay you and for a certain amount, I say I want to buy a sefina, we just say sefina, and then you deliver it and you deliver a boat that has a capacity only for 29 se'ah. I can say, that's no good. You'll say, no, it's a good se'ah. I said, no, see, we learn from here that a standard capacity of just sefina is 30, so sell me a bigger one. Next Mishnah. Kol ha'umanin shomrei sachar hen, v'chulan shamru tolet shelcha v'haveh ma'ot shomer chinam. If I have a given item, let's say a suit, to a tailor to fix for me, and he is holding it in his store. In the meantime, he is as liable as a shomer sachar. After all, I am paying him for his service, so if it gets lost or stolen, he is liable. And however, if the tailor says, listen, it's finished, come pick it up, so then it's my responsibility to come as fast as possible to pick it up, because he is not obligated to watch it anymore as a shomer sachar, but only as a shomer chinam. He's no longer getting any benefit, any extra payment for watching it. So therefore, I should come to pick it up, because he's going to be less responsible. If it's lost or stolen, he will not be responsible. Shemor livei shemor lecha shomer sachar. If we trade, here, I'll watch your item and you watch my item, so we're both benefiting from that. And therefore, it does shomer sachar, being a paid bailey, doesn't have to mean you're being paid money. It could be that you're being paid a service. I'm getting a service, and so are you, for us watching each other's items. Shemor li ve'amar lo hanach lefanai shomer chinam. Someone asks you, hey, can you wash this for me? And you say, oh, put it over there. That is a shomer chinam. Hilvahu al hamashkon shomer sachar. If I borrowed money from you and I gave you my watch as collateral, so you are responsible like a shomer sachar. So it's a higher level of responsibility. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says it depends. If you lent me money and I give you a watch, then you are only a shomer chinam for that watch. However, if you lend me produce and I give you a watch as collateral for the produce, then you are a shomer sachar. Abba Shul omer, Rashai Adam laskir mashkono shel ani liot posek veolech alav mipnei shehu kemeshiv aveda. Abba Shul says that if a poor person, let's say he's poor, he has to borrow money, and he gives the lender a watch, so the lender is allowed to rent it out on behalf of the poor person and use the proceeds of that rental to pay off the loan slowly, right? That's posek veholech, because it's like returning a lost item. This watch otherwise is just going to sit there and do nothing, but it has time value. Literally, it's a time piece. And so if you rent it out, you can get a little bit of rent every day, and then that will benefit the poor person. So even though generally, if someone gives you something to watch, you can't just rent it out, not for your own sake, not even for their sake. But if it's a poor person, now this will help him to pay off his loan, then that is permitted. The Gemara now asks, Lema matitin de lo kerebi meir de tanya socher kesad mishalem, Rebi meir omer keshomer chinam, Rebi Yehuda omer keshomer sachar. Let us propose that our Mishnah cannot be the opinion of Rebi Meir, because we have a braita regarding a socher, a renter. How responsible is a renter if something goes wrong? What would he have to pay? There's a big machloket about this. Rebbe Meir says we treat a renter like a shomer chinam. After all, he is paying for his right to use the item. His main job is not actually to watch the item, and so it's for the benefit of using the item. He's paying for that. That equals out. So he's like a shomer chinam. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says he's like a shomer sachar because he's getting benefit. Then he can use the lawnmower or the hammer that he's renting. So since he gets that benefit, he is more responsible. That was have to do with our situation. We're comparing the tailor or any artisan who takes an item into his shop, we're comparing him to a renter. How so? The tailor is not getting paid to watch the item. However, he is getting benefit in having the item because now he can fix it and charge a fee. So too, a renter has the item and he can benefit because he can use the item for his work as the lawnmower or whatever he is using it for. So therefore, it makes sense that the tailor and the renter should have the same law. Well, that would be good with our Mishnah would fit with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a renter is the same as a shomer sachar, and our Mishnah says that the tailor is also like a shomer sachar, and so they're all equal. That's fine. However, this is problematic for Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says a renter is like shomer chinam. Okay, a renter is taking the item and getting benefit from it, and yet he's a shomer chinam. So then it would make sense that the tailor should also be like a shomer chinam. He's not getting paid to watch it. He's getting benefit of having it in his store that he can now charge for fixing it. And so you see that this Mishnah cannot be the opinion of Rabbi Meir. All right, we'll have three tries for an answer. Afilu tema Rabbi Meir. Bahi hana'a deka shavi kule ama ve'agir le ledide have aylave shomer sachar. There is a benefit to the tailor. It's not exactly a financial benefit, but it is hana'a. He's getting enjoyment in that. This guy, the customer, he left all other tailors in the whole world, passed them by, and gave it to this tailor. So he feels happy that, look, I was chosen to be the tailor. He chose me from all out of all my competition. For that emotional benefit, he agrees to be a shomer sachad, and that's why it's different from a renter, where you don't have that. So we reject this. Yachi socher nameh, behi hana'a dekasha biku le'ama umogar le'lidide, have ilave shomer sachad. A renter could say the same thing. This guy could have lent out his lawnmower to anybody, and yet he chose me. So for that emotional benefit, that he agreed that I should be the one to be able to rent his lawnmower, so I'll agree to be a shomer sachad and have the higher level of responsibility. So in that aspect, they're the same. Rabbi Meir says there is actually a financial benefit in that when someone pays the tailor a little bit of that payment, you're going to give a little extra to watch it, you know, take care, good care of it, to make sure it doesn't get lost or stolen. And so for that little extra payment for watching it, we consider that a tailor, a shomer sachad, different from a socher, a renter who does. We don't say that. We reject this. Socher name milas kina dekama shvele tefe purta. If for a renter, isn't it all talking about a case where the owner gives a little bit of a discount? Normally, this renting the lawnmower would be $10, and so he charges him, you know, $9.50, and that 50 cents. That is, is like a payment for watching it, to take good care of it. So that in that aspect, they're also the same. Ela afilu tema Rabbi Meir, bahi hana'a detafis le'agre, dela ba'ay le'me'alul mepak azuze, have ale shomer sachar. Rather, we can say this Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and there is a direct benefit to the tailor in holding on to the clothing. What is it? It's a benefit that he's holding on to the clothing as collateral for his money. As long as he has the clothing, he doesn't have to bother coming in and going out and trying to collect the payment for his services, right? If you don't come in and pick up your, if you don't come in and pay for the tailoring services, then he'll just keep your suit. And so he has a direct benefit of having the suit there. And so because of that direct benefit, he is considered a shomer sachad, and there's no parallel to that for a renter. So even Rabbi Meir would agree that a tailor is treated like a shomer sachad and not like a socher. That's all one answer. The other strategy is to flip around the opinions. Iba etema kidema halif rabba bar abu betane socher kesad meshalem. Rabbi Meir omer keshomer sachad. Rabbi Yehuda omer keshomer chinam. We can switch around the opinions as rabba bar avu does, and his version of the Braita that we've seen elsewhere. How does a renter pay? How much level of responsibility does he have? Rabbi Meir says he is like a paid Bailey, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he is like an unpaid Bailey. And so now it actually fits Rabbi Meir perfectly. Yes, in fact, the tailor is the same as a renter, and both of them are the same as a shomer sachar. Baruch Adonai Adonai Olam. Amen v'amen.